The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
It's summer vacation time in the NFL, a brief window for players, coaches, and executives to step away from the football grind and enjoy themselves elsewhere, including Alvin Kamara, who went to the racetrack to help grow the sport of NASCAR. Meanwhile, Saquon Barkley's work on his knee and his golf game. You see him there at the driving range. Not bad form, Saquon. J.J. Watt does what he kind of always does. He spends time in the gym. That's a whole lot of weight. That might weigh more than I do by myself. And Aaron Rodgers got a head start on summer as he made a well-chronicled trip over to Hawaii in May. Hello, welcome into NFL Live, where we too are enjoying the summer vibes. I'm Field Yates, very relaxed, and I will be joined by Mina Kime and Marcus Pierce in just a few. They look great, as does Jeff Darlington, who we turn to kick things off, Jeff, as we just talked about one guy that started his summer a little bit early this year. Give us the top NFL storylines heading into this offseason, starting with Aaron Rodgers.
Well, Field, I feel like I belong to a fraternity party. This is pretty ridiculous, but let's talk about Aaron Rodgers. And here's something interesting. This is the absurdity of what we've reached. The Score in Wisconsin reporting that Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers has renewed his membership to Green Bay Country Club for the remainder of the year. That could only mean one thing other than some rounds of golf this year. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is staying. All right, let's move on to a little bit more tricky situation. Deshaun Watson continuing to deal with off-the-field situations. When I talk to teams around the league, they are not interested in dealing with Watson just yet until there is a little bit more clarity on what's going on off the field. So I don't expect much change when it comes to Watson for at least quite some time. Let's talk about another summer storyline. We've got some quarterbacks with some new coaches. Oh, we've also got some potential holdouts. Gilmore and Howard, these are two very interesting ones. Xavier Howard with the Miami Dolphins, one of the best corners in the league, asking for more money after just completing 1 year of a five-year extension. Doesn't feel, from my conversations, like the Dolphins are necessarily going to move on this. Gilmore, on the other hand, a little bit of a different situation. There's a little more flexibility, perhaps some expectation he could get some money.
All right, Jeff, and before
Rams and Bears among the teams with head coach quarterback situations. We got Matt Nagy dealing with basically saying that Andy Dalton will be QB1 going into training camp. Justin Fields likely to back him up. Certainly a storyline we'll watch at the start of training camp. Rams, on the other hand, this one, Matt Stafford very clearly in play. Sean McVay making very clear today that Stafford is his guy.
No question about that, Jeff. And it feels like an eternity ago when the Rams made the first blockbuster move of the NFL offseason, forming a new top coach and quarterback duo in trading away Jared Goff plus two first-round picks for Matthew Stafford, as you just referenced. The move has come with great expectations for team and the player, as Sean McVay has already been impressed by the former Lion. Here's what he had to say about Stafford, the MMQB. Quote, bro, this dude is a bad MF. Whatever people say about him, as good as it can be, he's even better than advertised. It makes sense to him. The guy's ability to see the game, his ability to draw on his experiences, the feel that he has, it's pretty special and unique. You're not going to run away from the expectations. Every single team in the NFL has one goal right now, and that's to win a Super Bowl. And I believe the teams that know and the teams that have actually accomplished that, they know that you only do that by being where your feet are planted. Wow, McVay saying Stafford is better than advertised shouldn't come as too much of a surprise. During Stafford's time in Detroit, the Lions did not do much to surround him. In fact, the Lions allowed nearly 25 points per game and rushed for less than 100 yards per contest in Stafford starts. Both of those are the worst averages for any quarterback in the Super Bowl era. Now he joins a team that ranked top 10 in both areas just last season. All right, Swagoo, you're looking good in those shades, but now it's time to get down to business. Is this team, the Los Angeles Rams, Super Bowl or bust in 2021?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Phil. And listen, I know everybody right now
is high on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and rightfully so, for what they did in this offseason, but also coming off a Super Bowl. But think about what the Rams have given away, not just this year in particular for Matt Stafford, but also for Jalen Ramsey. They paid Aaron Donald a couple years ago. They just paid Leonard Floyd. This team is all in, and that's why I believe that Sean McVay is under as much pressure as any coach in the NFL, because Matthew Stafford is supposed to be the difference. He's supposed to be the catalyst, the guy to put you over the top of the X's and O's. The one thing we always said, well, not we, I always said about Jared Goff is that once it gets crazy and chaotic, you worry about if he can manage those situations. And I believe that cost the Rams some games, and I believe that's why he's now with the Detroit Lions. In comes Matt Stafford. It's not like the Rams have not been in this process for a long time. They mortgaged the future in order to get a number of players, not just Matt Stafford. So right now they are in a win now situation before all of this has to come to the realization that we're going to have to release players, let other guys go. They better get it done. And this year in particular seems like one that would be nice for Sean McVay to get it done based on what they made, the moves that they made in the offseason and acquiring star players.
Yeah, there's no question, Swagoo. The pressure is on, and the NFL will be watching, because the Rams really are rewriting the way they're building a team compared to most others for years. Whether it's Bill Belichick stockpiling draft picks, whether it's GMs across the league saying you have to build through the draft because of the way that the collective bargaining agreement structures rookie contracts. The Rams are saying, no. We don't care about first-round picks. We're going to build this team with veteran players. Yeah. We're going to go ahead and say we don't need those first round picks, and we're going to invest them in these other players. The pressure is absolutely on not only Sean McVay, but Les Snead and the rest of the organization. If they don't get this right, if they don't win right now, what are we supposed to believe that the future holds? Because it certainly doesn't hold much promise in the form of first round picks. So absolutely, Swagoo, the pressure is on, and I agree with you. If they don't get to a Super Bowl the way Jared Goff helped get them there several years ago, then this year's a bust.
All right, so Mina, it seems like the consensus is the Rams are under pressure this year. This team is likely the favorite in the NFC West and maybe the co-favorite along or behind the Buccaneers. If we're going to point out areas of vulnerability, though, in Los Angeles, what could they be?
You know, Field, two areas jump out to me. On offense, I would say the offensive line, not the starters. This is a group that bounced back last year and played really well, but there's not a lot of depth behind them. I thought the Rams might draft an offensive lineman a little bit higher. They didn't. So if there was an injury there, I think that could be an issue. Meanwhile, on defense, again, it's about depth. And also about younger players needing to step up. To Jeff's point, by the way, when you build a roster this way, you need later round draft picks to come in and take the place of veterans who have moved on, like John Johnson. He's not a name like, you know, Jalen Ramsey, who I believe is the best cornerback in the NFL, but he was integral in that Rams defense that utilizes a lot of light boxes. They need the safeties to take on more responsibilities against the run. John Johnson did precisely that. He wore the green dot on his helmet, and he's in Cleveland now. They're left with Taylor Rapp and Jordan Fuller, two very good young safeties. But, you know, we're asked before, they were depth. Now they need them to step up because suddenly the defense is getting a little bit thinner.
I agree, Mina. And listen, the point is that Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey workload is increased. That's what you go to when you lose veteran presence on defense. They have to step up and make everybody else around them better. I fully expect that. But Mina is right when she points out, especially that safety position in that defense and the structure of it to free you up to be the tackler in the hole or down the lane or in the seam when you got backs coming out of backfield. You have to have a guy like that in this defense, and hopefully they can replace Johnson in that regard.
Yeah, and they did a good job filling some holes last year. The challenge on them to do it once again. And we mentioned that Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford, they're grabbing the headlines, and they're one of many new head coach quarterback duos around the league. As we get in some quick reads, who do you think could be the best new quarterback head coach duo? And Mina, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think the veteran Matt Ryan and first-time head coach Arthur Smith is going to be a dream team, but I'm also very curious to see how their styles meld, because in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, that, you know, run-heavy, play-action-heavy offense was very different from what Matt Ryan ran under Dirk Cutter. I'm curious to see how Arthur Smith evolves his scheme to fit his new quarterback, because Matt Ryan obviously has his own way of doing things.
Listen, bear with me now, Sean Payton and Jameis Winston. I'm looking forward to this combination. I keep telling people that there is a personal vendetta with Sean Payton against the rest of the league to prove that Jameis Winston is a top-tier quarterback. I believe the turnovers will be fixed based on the offensive structure that he'll be in, and expect this tandem to do some good work this year.
Yeah, Marcus, I love that one. I also love Minas. I'm going to go a little more boomer bust when it comes to Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. Look, I get it. Out of the gates, people questioning whether Urban can make it work in the pros. Totally understand that. Trevor Lawrence, to me, I mean, this guy is about to be an absolute superstar in the NFL. I think that he can mask some of the early woes that Urban faces as a head coach. But also, I think Urban is up for this challenge. Look, I know it's boomer bust here, but I'm saying Trevor and Urban are going to take this league by storm this year.
The vibes are just getting started here on NFL Live, as we've got so much more ahead, including a potential wardrobe change. Well, let's talk about Ben Roethlisberger. He's entering his 19th season. We'll tell you why he's under some pressure to win now. Someone here says he'll need to be carried if the Steelers want him to succeed in 2021. And also, the Vikings, their defense last year, not much to say that's really nice about it. Mike Zimmer, he's excited about some new changes.
Yeah, this is a bad defense. Worst one I've ever had.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Vikings were one of the most imbalanced teams in the NFL last season. In fact, they were one of just three teams to rank in the top 10 of offensive efficiency and the bottom 10 of the league in defensive efficiency. Here's Mike Zimmer on Minnesota's defensive improvements this offseason.
Our guys in the front office have done an outstanding job. You know, it's probably going to be look completely different on the defensive side of the ball than it did last year with the guys coming back and the additions that we made. And so, you know, I am excited about that.
All right, Mina, it's good that Mike Zimmer is excited about the defense bouncing back this year. He would be more excited if Aaron Rodgers were out of the division and no longer with Green Bay. If that were to ever happen, do the Vikings become the favorite in the NFC North?
Yeah, I think so, Field, in that world, which is, of course, the dream world for all NFC North football fans outside of Green Bay. You know, the Lions are a rebuilding team. The Bears have a rookie quarterback. And the Vikings, I think people would be surprised seeing those numbers last year, how good the offense was. That's an offense that largely returns. Meanwhile, the defense also returns and returns some players who were absent last season, which is a big part of the reason why they struggled so much, why Mike Zimmer sounded so disgusted talking about that unit, because as you know, he's one of the best defensive coaches in the NFL. In the past, his defenses have typically finished in the top 10, but last year they had a very young secondary, and the case for them succeeding would have been that the defensive line would compensate for them. But then before the season, Michael Pierce opts out, Danielle Hunter gets hurt right away, both of those players come back. They bring back Sheldon Richardson. All of a sudden, you're looking at a unit that I think should be much better than they were last season. And they showed some of the additions they made in the secondary. You know, Patrick Peterson maybe isn't the same player he was a few years ago, but I think he's a nice fit for that Mike Zimmer defense, which uses more zone coverage, a lot of quarters that should hide him a little bit more, as well as Xavier Woods. I wouldn't be surprised if they return to form this season.
Yeah, no doubt, MK, and they should win this division. And even if Rodgers was in, I would have to think about it. to be honest with you, because I do think this defense will be that much improved. And remember also, this team lost Dalvin Cook in spurts throughout the last season, the injury, or he was rolling and could have arguably been in the conversation for MVP based on some performances. But on the defensive side of the football, listen, I played for Mike Zimmer. I understand his mentality. He wants to tie the front to the back. And for everybody at home, what that means is I need one guy, Dalvin Tomlinson, to be able to push the pocket. I need another guy, Sheldon Richardson, to be able to win one-on-ones as a three technique potentially when he's inside, and Michael Pierce as well. And Danielle Hunter is a star. All right, we don't talk about him enough, but when it comes to getting after the passer, he is a superstar off the edge for a defense. The move for Patrick Peterson and Breshad Breeland I love so much because of this. Mike Zimmer is a secondary guy. That is the position group he focuses on throughout practices. He did that in Dallas. He had this kind of relationship with Terrence Newman, who he ended up bringing to Minnesota as well and played for a long time. That's Patrick Peterson's role. Breshad Breeland coming in, a man corner who, to Mina's point, can play zone, but guys that can get the football and keep their eyes back towards the quarterback. This defense will be marketably better because of the front and tying that in with the back, and also veteran players that can go out and relay exactly what Mike Zimmer wants to do on the back end, but as a defense. And then the ultimate communicators on the back end, and he has Harrison for that. This defense should be marketably better, almost good enough to beat the Packers, even if Aaron Rodgers was playing quarterback.
Should be a much more competitive division this time around. It's time for us to head now for some more quick reads. And we'll start here. Other than the Vikings, which defense needs to be the most improved in the entire NFL? And Jeff, you start us off.
Well, I'm going to be very careful here. I'm going to say the Patriots, and that's not to say that they really didn't overachieve last year, given some of the opt-outs that they dealt with, given just the situation in general in New England. But this is a defense that could be championship caliber this year, given the upgrades. And by the way, they have a chance to be among the best, if not the best, defense in the NFL. If they can do that, they put the Patriots back in the conversation for a significant playoff run in 2021.
Jeff, I absolutely believe the Patriots be top five, but this is the defense that needs to improve, the Seattle Seahawks. And when you look at this division, you have to have a complete football team. I'm not saying like the world on fire, but we absolutely know they have to be better than they were last year and have Russell Wilson not feeling like he has to carry every possible situation for them to win games. Jamal Adams, hopefully healthy this year, contracts and all of those talks coming up. The Seattle Seahawks are the key to this team trying to win this division. Defense.
For me, it is Tennessee. You know, I think this offense with Julio Jones is going to be just as good as they were last season, despite some losses, including Arthur Smith. But the defense is a bit of a question mark, and it was a question mark last year. In particular, the pass defense, lack of pressure. Titans fans were, you know, screaming at their television every game watching that unit. And they went out, they signed Bud Dupree, they added Janoris Jenkins, they drafted some DBs as well. Not sure how it all fits together under Mike Vrabel, but I think that's going to be key to whether or not this team can win the division.
Yeah, we almost haven't talked about that defense given the trade for Julio Jones. Hey, still to come here on NFL Live, there are a lot of questions about the Cowboys who begin training camp in a month. Find out, though, who quarterback Dak Prescott says is the most important player on the roster this year.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
How about this? Just 1 month from today, the Steelers and Cowboys are set to report for training camp as the two teams will have a head start on the rest of the NFL because they are playing in this year's Hall of Fame game. Now, Pittsburgh is looking to repeat as division winners, while the Cowboys are hoping to get back on track after a dismal 2020. They didn't just lose Dak Prescott to injury early in the season. They also lost three starters along the offensive line in Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, and Lyle Collins for a combined 36 games. The team saw a significant drop-off in pass block win rate and run block win rate when compared to the 2019 season, and Dallas went from ranking first in yards per play to 22nd last season. Dak has made it clear who he thinks will be the most important players for this team's success this season.
They're the most important, if you ask me. I mean, from the time that I got drafted here until now, that is this offense was built off of those guys. Those are the three most veteran guys on this team, and that's for a reason. Those guys are walking Pro Bowl guys when they're healthy. You know what I mean? Future Hall of Famers, and just to have those three guys lead the five guys up front. Everything starts with them. The run game, then that allows the pass game to open up. So when you have those guys back, healthy, energized, it's special.
All right, so Swagoo, other than the quarterback position, do you agree that those three offensive linemen are indeed the most important pieces to the Cowboys' success this season?
It's not even close, Phil. Absolutely they are. I mean, look, this is one of the forgotten things when we talk about how bad the Cowboys were, because we all, you know, look at the Dak Prescott injury. His offensive line was shattered last year as well. It was a bunch of guys starting with no NFL experience, especially trying to go and win division games and playing against teams as good as they had to play with on the defensive side of the football. So listen, the comfortability for Dak. Obviously, Tyron Smith is going to the Hall of Fame. He's going to have a gold jacket. Zach Martin is trending in that direction. And Lyle Collins was renewed and given a contract after coming out of the draft because of the success that he had. These are three Pro Bowl guys. And not to mention, a part of that offensive line is Blake Jarwin, who I think is poised to have a really good season. He was coming on before he suffered an injury. So solidifying up front, giving Dak the opportunity to have time to go downfield, obviously, but also with Zeke. Like, these guys are a zone scheme. They want to get – Zeke is a put his foot in the ground, one-cut running back. That's when he's at his best. It's not the dancing around, not trying to make people miss in the backfield, and these are the guys that you have to have back. And with this understanding of how Kellen Moore wants to run offense in order to have success, they are no doubt the most important – part of this offense.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with Marcus and Dak. I mean, aside from the quarterback, on offense, it is the offensive line, in particular because of the lack of depth behind them. This is an incredibly stacked wide receiver group. Yeah. I think the most stacked trio in the NFL. Marcus is right about Blake Jarwin, but Dalton Schultz showed he could play as well. Even Ezekiel Elliott has Tony Pollard behind him, who I think is an incredibly talented running back. But on offensive line, if you lose one of these players, these tackles, like you did last year, they're in trouble. So they need healthy seasons from Smith, Collins, Martin, and they haven't had that in a while from everyone. So I think, you know, that's probably the one area on this offense that I'd be a little bit anxious about going into the season.
Yeah, Mina, when I think about Dak's rookie season and really when Zeke broke out as well, I think about the offensive line being the best in the NFL. So that makes sense. But I would add, don't forget about Zeke as being potentially the most important piece of this puzzle outside of Dak. It's not to take away from the offensive line, but he can make things easier as well. He can create the type of balance that Dak will need to at least allow this offense to be multi-dimensional. So, look, I totally think that the offensive line needs to make some magic for Zeke, but let's not forget that Zeke is a highly paid running back that this team has invested in because they believe that he also makes everybody better. So he has to do his part to also make this offensive line's job a little bit easier as well.
All right, Marcus, if we zoom out just for a second and include the question, make it not just the players, but people in the Dallas organization, who is the most important person to the Cowboys' success this season?
Dan Quinn. And I don't think it's close. And we all know for what reasons. Because if this defense can be formidable, I'm not talking about making a drastic improvement and being top five, top 10 in the league. But if this defense can hover around 15, 16, and that offense is rolling like we expect it to be, this team should win this division. And this is the part for me that really makes Dan Quinn the most important. Put defensive players out there that understand what the hell they doing. We talk about the ability and the athleticism of these guys. The one thing as a defensive player looking at film of the Cowboys, there was so much confusion, so much not knowing what the hell to do, not knowing where to line up, not understanding what type of scheme they were playing in, let alone guys not being the right type of players to fit the scheme that Mike Nolan was trying to run. So Dan Quinn has to fix all of those things from a schematic standpoint to allow those guys physical ability and talent to show.
Marcus, you nailed it. This defense doesn't need to be good. They just need to be not terrible. Like, that is where I'm setting the bar, not a tire fire, because the offense is so good. And a tire fire is what they were last season. And you're spot on about Quinn. If I had to pick a player that I think the success of this unit could hinge on, I'm going to go with Trevon Diggs, a cornerback, because this secondary is very, very young. And they did not invest heavily in it in free agency. They didn't really have any money to do so. But it's a secondary that struggled a great deal last season on passes of 15 yards or more. They ranked 31st in opponent passer rating. And Diggs, who was a rookie last year, you know, he got cooked early on, but he got better as the season went on. I thought his performances near the end of the year were really promising, and I think he's a better schematic fit with what Dan Quinn does with that cover three. He's also like the old man in the group now. Like, he is the should be cornerback one, and if he can take another step forward, he can stabilize a group of players that really need some stability.
Last word, Swagoo.
Yeah, I also think 1.2, and we'll get into this as the season goes along. I think Jalen Smith moving back to the wheel linebacker with Micah Parsons coming in is going to help this defense tremendously. And it's something that we haven't talked about a lot, but Jalen is more suited to be the sideline-to-sideline guy. But we'll break this all down, because y'all know I'm talking about the Cowboys' defense for the rest of the damn summer. Get ready.
Yeah, trust me. It's what I look forward to when I wake up in the morning. Swagoo, your passion about the Cowboys is certainly unmatched. We go from the Cowboys to another NFC East team, and that is the Giants, as longtime Giants great Eli Manning will be inducted into the team's Ring of Honor on September 26th, the game against the Falcons. He's also accepted a role with the team that includes business operations and fan engagement initiatives. I'm asking for one more thing on top of that, another appearance as the SNL host. Justin Herbert has received comparisons to two all-time greats, and that has Mina telling the Chargers to be careful what they wish for. How Herbert can avoid having a sophomore slump, that and more we return on NFL Live.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert seemed to do it all as a rookie, breaking records and showing immense upside during 15 starts. With success, though, comes expectations and targeted areas for growth, which his new head coach, Brandon Staley, who you just heard from, recently discussed. Here's what he had to say on Herbert. What makes those two guys, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, specifically unique is that you're eliminating one of the variables in the equation. When they don't need the coach, when they are the coach, that's a much more dangerous person to have to defend, because you're not waiting for the coach to help them. They know how to help themselves. And that's what I think we're trying to achieve. Mina, this is the guy who broke the rookie touchdown record. Is it fair to expect him to take another step forward this soon?
You know, I think he will field. Justin Herbert, this is one of the craziest stats. I mean, and I'm saying this about a guy who broke the rookie touchdown record. He was actually the best quarterback in the NFL, not the best rookie quarterback, the best quarterback when he was under pressure last season, which blows my mind. Now, there's a downside to that stat, which is he was actually better under pressure relative to the other quarterbacks than when he was kept clean. And that, it sounds great, but it actually can be a sign that regression is looming because plays under pressure tend to be more unstable, more unpredictable year to year. The reason why I think regression is less likely to hit Herbert, aside from his incredible physical tools and what we saw last year, is that the Chargers invested so heavily in their offensive line. Drafting Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern, a pick I loved, going out and signing Corey Linsley. Brian Bulaga comes out healthy. This is an offensive line that really struggled to protect Herbert last year. So I think that group, that pass protecting unit being better this season will help him take another leap forward as a quarterback just on its own.
Yes, two things, MK, and I think you make a great point. That's a heavy burden to carry when people start talking about you like that going into your second year. But he gave some signs about of having tremendous ability from the position. I want to point to one thing, though. I want to point to the New England Patriots last year. New England beat L.A. 45-0. And that was when Justin Herbert had his rookie moment and was exposed, because we all know what Bill Belichick does to young quarterbacks, young players in general. So I think those are the type of hurdles that come to mind when you start saying, okay, going in the second year, had a chance to see it, let's correct these wrongs. So I believe Justin Herbert has top five talent at the quarterback spot. Now it's about processing. Now it's about giving more on his plate so you can see him adapt and start to figure things out as they come. I keep mentioning it. Pep Hamilton did a tremendous job with him as a quarterback, just keeping him on schedule, letting that athletic ability show up. But we all know in order to be a great quarterback in this league, it's going to come down to the mind. And now this is the time in the second year where we figure out, once people have a blueprint on Justin Herbert, what he can do to counteract that.
Yeah, if we learned anything last year, it should be to bet on this young man. But he's not the only second-year quarterback that we're keeping our eyes on. As a matter of fact, it has us thinking about a little game of step up or step back. And we'll start with Jeff Darlington on Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, Field, I think Tua Tagovailoa is going to step up. You can look at that and laugh a little bit because he got benched a few times for Ryan Fitzpatrick last year. Of course he has to step up. But I think the key here is that he has to step up more than just one step to prove that he is the franchise quarterback for the Dolphins. He has a lot in front of him. He has more weapons. He has a healthier roster. It's going to be important to do more than just step up. He has to step up big, Field.
It's Joe Burrow for me, and I believe he steps up. Mina mentions the deep ball accuracy, the ability to go downfield, which I think is the area when he improves that, this offense can really unlock some things and become almost prolific. Yeah, I said it about the Cincinnati Bengals. Chase, Higgins, Boyd, Joe Mixon healthy. Joe Burrow should take a step forward this year. It's all on you, Zach Taylor.
Well, shoot, now we just look like easy graders, but I also think Jalen Hurts is going to step up because of his surroundings. You know, this is an offensive line in Philadelphia that was decimated by injuries last season. They get Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson back, two of the better offensive linemen in football, as well as drafting Devontae Smith. New head coach Nick Sirianni is going to have to figure out a system that works best for Hurts, but I think a little more experience under his belt, as well as better protection, will help him step up.
Coming up next here on NFL Live. A guy's not in his second year. He's on, like, his second team, though. That's A.J. Green, who has some high praise for the offense he will now play in Arizona. A bunch of potential on paper, but what do they need for it to show up on the field? Tonight on ESPN and the app, we'll have another one of these College World Series Major League Baseball doubleheaders for you. It starts in Omaha at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, with a winner's bracket matchup between Vandy and NC State. And it's out to Petco Park for the first of a big three-game series between Mookie Betts and the Dodgers, plus Fernando Tatis Jr. and the Padres. The Cardinals augmented their roster this offseason with some notable veteran additions, including Bengals great A.J. Green. Green signed a one-year deal to play alongside DeAndre Hopkins, who has already made an impressive impression. Here's what Green had to say about DeAndre Hopkins. I never play with a guy like D-Hop. The guy is unbelievable, man. He embraced me. We don't have egos, and we feed off each other. You're going to have to pick your poison on game day on Sundays. The potential of this team, I've been in Cincinnati so long, I don't know anything else. So for me, getting a chance to get out, it's all about winning and about being in a great environment, and I think Arizona was the perfect situation. Last season, the Cardinals wide receivers ranked in the top 10 in the NFL in receptions and receiving yards and had the second lowest drop rate of any team. Now they've added A.J. Green and Rondale Moore to go along with DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk. Still not sure about Larry Fitzgerald. Clearly, Arizona is looking to take their high-flying offense to the next level. Swaggoo, we start with you and a very simple question for you. How explosive can this Cardinals offense be?
Top 10 offense in the league. They should be at least that. With obviously Kyler Murray and his ability to go beyond the play and extend plays. But also I have my concerns. And when you look at this team and you look at the talent that they've amassed, obviously the book is still out on A.J. Green, whether his health will allow him to be some form of the player that we all thought he was trending to be in Canton one day. We know who Hop is, Kirk, and then Rondale Moore in the draft. You have talent. You got Fitzy still there, who understands this league as well as anyone. But Kyler Murray showed me some things for concern. The inconsistency in play, especially after the injury when he had to operate and was limited in that regard. And I'm sure he's paid attention to it. Cliff Kingsbury's paid attention to it as well. And that is a part of their game that they need to get summed up. It's not that Kyler can't do it. He just needs to have that ability in case he has to operate at times like he had to because of being banged up a little bit last year in this offense. If he can do that, they will ascend and they will be in the conversation for winning this division.
You know, Marcus, I remember being at this game when the Dolphins played out at Arizona last season, and there were just these moments when I'd watch Kyler Murray, like, live. And it's sometimes with these players, like, first time I remember seeing Patrick Mahomes live throw the ball, you're just like, oh, my God. Like, it's unbelievable. Same with Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. With Kyler Murray, like, when you see him live, when you see him flash, when you see him run and move, you can't help but think that this guy just has what it takes to be an absolute superstar in the NFL. And, like, I know that that's a little bit of an elementary thought because it requires so much more than just those moments. But I'm telling you, I can't let that go. Like, I feel like the potential is still there for him to put it all together. And honestly, like you said, top 10, like, to be an MVP caliber player, I think it's there. It just is a wonder whether he can be consistent enough to really make it all happen.
So plenty of potential here, Mina, surrounding Kyler Murray. But back to A.J. Green for a second. Was he the most important addition to this team this offseason, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I mean, I know he's A.J. Green. He's the biggest name. But I actually think a couple other additions might be more impactful. First, Rodney Hudson, the center. I cannot stress enough what a coup it was for Arizona getting him in a trade. One of the best centers in the NFL. Massively important for a young quarterback to have a center like that. The other is Rondale Moore. Marcus alluded to him, the wide receiver out of Purdue who they drafted. I mean, listen, this kid is electric. They can put Cliff Kingsbury can put him in motion to give Kyler indicators as to what kind of defenses they're facing to create mismatches. He can stretch the field horizontally and vertically. He is electric with the ball in his hands. And at, you know, he might not look like your traditional number two. I think he's about 5'7", but I'm telling you, the versatility he brings to this offense, the versatility that I frankly think has been lacking in the passing attack could be what takes Kyler Murray from just being, you know, an average passer with flashes of greatness to being one of the better passers in this league.
And Mina, to that point, something that you and I talk about, Jeff, all of us when we getting around in football, you know what else helps young quarterbacks? A damn run game. And I love that fact that you brought up Rodney Hudson. We obviously know Edmonds is there, and they went and got Connor in the offseason. Take some of that pressure off of Kyler Murray having to be your primary rusher as well. The Kenyon Drake didn't work out. So Cliff Kingsbury did show last year towards the end of the season the propensity to run the football, which shocked the hell out of me, to be honest with you. I thought all he wanted to do was throw it around the yard. That's a part of Arizona's offense, too, that they can help and increase to make them a more successful offense. So I'm looking forward to that as well. We talk about these weapons and Kyler Murray and his ability, but hey, y'all know me. I'm always bringing back to the foundation. If you can't run it, you can't win.
No doubt about that. Got to find some ground and pass balance as well. That's right, in Arizona. Raiders defensive lineman Carl Nassib has made history by becoming the first active NFL player to announce he is gay. He took to Instagram earlier today saying, "What's up, people? I just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but finally feel comfortable getting it off my chest." Here's more.
"What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important."
Mean, what were your first thoughts and your reaction to this massive, massive news?
Field, I mean, just watching that, I feel emotional. I feel super happy, just happy for Carl. Obviously, he looks happy. Look at him. He looks happy. I feel emotional thinking about his teammates who have supported him, who he alluded to, coaches, family members. But, especially thinking about people at home, kids, anyone who's also gay, watching that, feeling a little bit more accepted today. I just think the world is a better place when we feel like we can be ourselves. And I really admire Carl, and I'm so proud of him for sharing his heart and putting himself out there because of what it'll do for others.
Well, y'all know me. I'm all about freedom of speech and freedom of being you and who you are. It's 2021, damn it. Be who you are, man. The best version of ourselves is to be comfortable in our own damn skin. So shout out to you, Carl, for doing your thing, man. And if anybody got a problem with it, tell them like Swagoo, tell them. Go talk to your damn mama or daddy about it.
Well said, Swagoo. And Carl also announced in his Instagram post that he'll be donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project, which helps suicide prevention amongst youth. Well done, Carl. A great life. Just got that much more impressive for you and your family. Congrats on your happiness and the freedom you're likely feeling right now.